on
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Mother Valerie.
Good morning, Pastor.
You are live. Good morning, everybody. Mother Valerie will be hosting the show this morning, and I will be listening. Your host is still under the weather and has to take a breathing treatment. So Mother Valerie will be going forth this morning in our New Testament word. And I'm going to give it over to you, and then I'm going to turn it over to your host. We are in New Testament Sunday, and we are in three new books this morning. As you know, when we go through the Old Testament, when you get just about ready to get Revelation, you get John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, all one chapter book. And so we are in 2 John, 3 John, and Jude this morning. And in 1st, 2 John, it says the Apostle John, according to church tradition, the author identified only as the elder. And we believe that that is John, because John is one of the few disciples that lived to old age. So he was the elder. And what he is teaching in 2 John is beware false teachers who deny Jesus' physical life on earth. And it says, addressed to the elect lady and her children, perhaps an actual family or figurative church. 2 John tackles the heretical idea that Jesus had not been physically present on earth. The letter may be a reaction to the Gnostics who taught that Jesus was spirit only, and that he just appeared to suffer and die on the cross. The teachings of a deceiver and an antichrist, 1 and 7, should be avoided at all costs, to the point of bearing barring one door against those who believe. And he told us, he said, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Love comes up in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John quite often. But he also tells us not to be tempted by false teachings and by false teachers. And he says also in this word, he says, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And what did Jesus teach us? That we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That we should love each other as Christ loved the church. You know, he wants us loving and kind. And he tells us in 2 John also, he says, one of the New Testament's four single chapter books is the shortest by verse count, 13. So 2 John is the shortest book in the one chapter book. So what about 1st, 2nd John? It says, just as in John's time, false teachers spread dangerous ideas in today's world. Every teaching should be weighed against Scripture. 2 John says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And there is a lot of false doctrine being taught right now, especially about the state of Israel. We have to really be very, very careful. We've got to pray, because what's going on is not of God, and it's not right. For 1,000, you've killed over 13,000, mostly women and children. And you were supposed to be in one area. Now you're taking over the entire area of the Palestinians. It's not of God. And I know that that's controversial, and I can be called anti-Semitic. I am not. The Palestinians are Semitic as well. We've got to pray for peace. And just recently in the United Nations, the United States voted against a ceasefire. We've got to pray for our national leaders. Life is life. regardless of what race, what nationality, what country, whatever state you come from, we've got to pray for peace and pray for a ceasefire that not one more woman or child or innocent person dies, because how would we feel if it was happening to us? That's where it comes into the second John about love. And when we get to third John, it says the Apostle John, according to church tradition, the author is identified only as the elder. Again, it was written approximately A.D. 92. In 10 words or less, church leaders must be humble. Church leaders must be humble and not proud. Addressed to a believer named Gaius. And Gaius was one of the disciples that followed John. Gaius was very famous as well. He was a wonderful disciple, and he was one of John's disciples. And it says John praises those like Gaius and another Christian named Demetrius, who led in charity before the church. But third John also has harsh words for Christians like Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence and refused to show kindness and hospitality to traveling evangelists. And that was a big deal, not showing hospitality. And the quotable from 3 John is this: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. The unique and unusual about 3 John, one of four single chapter books in the New Testament, is the second shortest by verse count, 14. So 2 John is 13, 3 John is 14 verses. And then it says, so what about 3 John? Hospitality isn't just for Martha Stewart's of the world. Christians are expected to feed, house, and encourage other believers, especially those who minister full-time for God. Humble service to others, followers, the example of Jesus himself, John 13 and 14. And our last one for this morning, and then this teacher is done, is Jude, possibly Jesus' half-brother, which is who I believe it is, because he also refers to James as you start in Jude. And so both were brothers and half-brothers of Christ. And it was written approximately A.D. 82. And his is, beware of heretical teachers and their dangerous doctrines. And we're dealing again with that today. You got a whole lot of heretics out there talking the word of God, but never mentioning Jesus. And as we go into details, as Jude tackles the same problems Peter did in his second letter, false teachers who were leading the early church astray, murmurers and complainers who are walking after their own lusts. We see it today. They're walking after politics, walking after everything, but not of God, telling people to hate. We can't hate each other. Hate is not of God. God is love. And he says, we're apparently using the grace of God as a cover for their sinful lifestyle. You have preachers and teachers falling after everything. And, you know, I was reading and watching a documentary yesterday, and one of the things it talked about was celibacy within the church body. There is nothing in the Bible that says that preachers and priests and teachers should be unmarried. There's nothing in there. That is all man-made doctrine, and most of it dealt with money. Because what was going on, people who were in ministry will leave their money and leave their churches to family members. And it became a problem because the money was not going into the church coffers. So one of the popes, I believe it was Augustine, decided to say that you should not marry, priests should not marry. So it's, again, a man-made edit, not of God. And that's why we read the Word of God ourselves. And it says this. It says, Christian believers to do the same truth. Believers, Jude says, reflect God's love, show compassion, and work to pull sinners out of the fire. We want to help and not hinder each other. And a quotable says, ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The unique and unusual about Jude. Jude provides details of two Old Testament events not recorded in the Old Testament. The archangel Michael's fight with Satan over the body of Moses and Enoch's prophecy of God's judgment. So what? Satan tries to sneak secret agents into God's church to confuse and ultimately crush true believers. It's the job of every true Christian to earnestly contend for the faith as passed down by Jesus' disciples and recorded in the Bible. We've got to stay focused, as my pastor said. So stay focused. And Mother Valerie, again, thank you so much for taking over this morning. I thank God that he allowed me to do what I have done so far. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. I present to some and present to others this awesome woman of God, my mother in Christ. And I thank her again for coming on Sunday, which is normally her day off. But she's coming in to work for the Lord today and to cover for her daughter. So I thank you. I praise God for you. And I ask him to keep you covered and all of you covered by his grace and by his mercy. Have a blessed day, family. For me, it's a wrap, but I give it over to Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, I give it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, people of God. Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to thank and praise you for who you are, for you are a great God. I thank and praise you for Pastor Bridget. Bless her, God. Because I know she's not feeling well. I can tell, and I know you know. God bless her and keep her safe as she travels today. Oh, God, we just give you praise and honor and glory. Heal her body, God, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Let her know that you are with her and that when she goes to urgent care or to the doctor, that she's going to be okay. God, a lot of times she do so much until you make her rest. You make her rest. And this is a period of Sabbath for her, Sabbath rest, as she feels better. We thank and praise you. And God, we love you. We love you. I was looking at the sun rise, and it's just beautiful. I thank you for it, God, that you did it again. You are the same God. If you did it once, you'll do it again. And you did it again in Jesus' name. I'm coming out of 2 John 1:13, the elder, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, not only I, but also all those who know the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The title is Keep Yourself in the Love of God for the Mercy of Jesus Christ. That is the title. I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk accordingly to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. You have to be careful, very, very careful who you receive in your house, because the devil is a receiver, a deceiver, and then he comes in many ways. I don't talk to everybody that say they are of Jesus Christ. I just don't. And when I see Jehovah Witnesses coming or knocking on my door, I don't receive them. I just don't. You have to be careful. And that's what Second John is telling you. Be careful. Be very, very careful who you receive into your house. God is good. And he wants his children to keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. And like, again, the title, keep yourself in the love of God. And to love one another. We are to love one another. Love one another. I'm going into 3 John, the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brothers come and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, then you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we, therefore, are to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the churches, but that Trophy, who loved to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, I came, and I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, planning around among us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not see the brethren, and forbid those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. God just wants you to love one another. He really do. He wants you to love one another the way he loves us, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross while we were yet sinners. It's all about love. And when we die, they're not going to ask you, God's not going to ask you how many cars you have and how much money you have. It's all about love. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and turn the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I've had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. He's telling you to greet the friends by name. So that was 3 John. And I'm going into Jude 1:25. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. That's who Jude is. Our title is Keep Yourself in the Love of God for the Mercy of Jesus Christ. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, God into lewdness, and denied the grace of the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who do not believe, and the angels who do not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and going after strange flesh, or set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, rejected authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, who he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and of whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. They are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, forming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. My Lord. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesies about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and their mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that they would be mockers in the last time, who will walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We have, the devil goes to church just as much as we do. And it's just something that he goes to church and he's walking around to deceive the saints. And you know what? We have to put him below our feet. God is good. All we have to do is keep yourself in the love of God for the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's the title. Keep yourself in the love of God. Like I say, there are deceivers. There's people that don't want to hear the truth. They don't rightly divide the word of God. And if you listen to them, they sound like they're telling the truth, but they're not. That's why we have to go and hear. You say, how can you hear if we don't have preachers? We have to go and hear the word of God. Then we have to read the word of God for ourselves so what we know we're hearing is the truth. You can't just come to church on Sundays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and holidays and know the word of God. You have to go more often than that. He said, don't fail to assemble yourself together. We are supposed to be with one another. And that's why we have dinners together. We have dinner downstairs at the church. We are to fellowship with one another. We learn one from another. You go on Thursday Bible study. You go on Monday Bible study, bring it to the table. And you go on Sunday. You go Sunday school. You have to, don't fail to gather yourselves together. You have to hear the word of God. You have to read the word of God. You have to study the word of God. You get words that you don't understand the meaning of the word, then, you know, try to find out, Google the word, find out what that word means. Study God's word. Learn God. God wants you to. He's not going to, if you ask him for wisdom, he'll give you wisdom and understanding so you can rightly divide the word of God. He wants you to. He wants you to rightly divide his word. This is God's word. And we have to live by the word. We don't want to live this life in vain. My Lord, we just really don't. We want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did good. We don't want nobody to hinder our walk. We want to help people. I mean, that's why we're here. We're left here just to help other people. I mean, that's what we're here for. When we see a person that needs our help, or when we see a person that's homeless, we're supposed to help them. I mean, it's our job. That's what we're here for, is keep yourself in the love of God for the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's the title, and he wants us to love each other. That's something. And I ask people, you know, if you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? You have to love yourself in order to love each other. He wants us to do that. I mean, that's the reason for living. That's what it's all about. It's all about love. Love, love, love. Love, laugh, and love. It's all about love. It said, mightier than the waves of the ocean is God's love for us. And that's what it's all about, his love for us. I mean, we are to love each other. You know, we love our families, our natural families, and we are to love the people of our church, our spiritual family. We just are to love, like lesson. I'm reading 3 John 2. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Prayers for our physical well-being are just as legitimate as prayers for our spiritual health. God wants us to prosper in all ways that will draw our hearts closer to him and to our fellow believers in Christ. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. To walk in truth means to believe the word of God and to gladly obey its instructions by drawing on the power of the Spirit. This kind of life brings great joy both to us and to our spiritual forebears. God wants us to walk in truth, and He, and long as you're walking in truth and rely on the Holy Spirit, you won't be deceived. You'll know. You'll actually know when somebody is lying to you. You won't be deceived. God's not going to let his children be deceived. When you call on Him to point things out to you, He wants you to walk in truth, and He don't want you to be deceived. God is just a good God. Life lessons. God is just, he's wonderful. 2 John 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is in you, abides in you, and will be with you forever. It will lead and guide you. And a lot of times, if you don't know what to do, go to the throne and not to the phone. Ask God what to do, and he'll tell you exactly what to do. That little, quiet, still voice. And people call him, something told me not to do this. Something told me not to do that. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Neither the word of God which we have received nor the saving the Lord who inspired it and lives in us will ever change. He's not going to ever change. God don't change. God has been God, the same God, and he can't change. He will never abandon us. God's truth does not alter from age to age, nor does he. No, he's still God. He's the same God. He's always the same God. And like the title said, keep yourself in the love of God for the mercy of Jesus Christ. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the same God and will always be the same God. God is just good. He's good all the time. And you know what? We can rely on him. He cannot fail. He cannot because of who he is. He's God, almighty. He's an almighty God. He's Abba. He's Father. And he don't fail his children. God wants us to draw closer. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to draw closer and closer to him. And I don't, you know, these are some short lessons. And I don't have the word for Carolyn this morning. Pastor might have it. God is just good. And you know what? Like I said, life lessons, John and Luke and Jude and John the third, they're real short lessons. But they're powerful lessons. John, 2 John 5, it said love one another. To love God and to love others as we love ourselves. You know, I was talking about it. You have to love yourself first and then love others. The core requirement of heaven has remained the same from the Old Testament time to the days of the New Testament and on to today. We have to love one another. We have to. And the first commandment is to love your God with all your heart. Love God first, and then love others. Don't lean into your own understanding. Ask God for knowledge. Love one another. And not only that, you have to demonstrate. You have to love and demonstrate love. And that's what we have to do. But God wants us to love. He really do. It's all about love. He gave Jesus Christ his son. And it's all about love. Jude 24, life lesson. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his holy glory with exceedingly joy. While God asks us to cooperate with him in the process of sanctification, it is he who conforms us to the image of Christ by his power and infinite wisdom. That is why we can joyfully anticipate our total transformation. We are being transformed into the image of Almighty God. Isn't that beautiful? Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not change, since he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his gospel remains internally the same, and it is worth fighting for, since through it alone we find eternal life. As the return of Jesus draws nearer, we will see an increase in those who mock the faith in Jesus. They will make vicious fun of believers and hold them up to ridicule, just as Jesus' enemies mocked him. You know, the end of time is here. They say, keep your eye on Jerusalem and the things that are happening there. We are getting closer and closer and closer to the rapture, to the catching away of the church. When that trumpet sounds, I want to hear it, because all who are believers will be caught up to meet him in midair. We are going to be caught up. And, you know, when you talk to people that are not saved about this, they ridicule us. They think, you know, they think it's a fantasy. They don't think it's real. They say, you have to have something to believe in. They think it's something like TV. They just don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that it's real, because they are non-believers. But we believe, we have faith, we believe that he's coming back soon and very soon. We believe that we're going to be caught up to meet him in midair, and the dead in Christ who died first will be caught up first, and those that will remain will be caught up to meet the Lord. And we will forever be with the Lord. There'll be no crying, there'll be no tears. Janice and Rita, we're all going to have new bodies. Pastor Bridget, we're going to have new bodies. You're not going to hurt. We're not going to hurt. We're going to be caught up. I mean, the word speaks it. I believe it. And that's that. Jude 5, the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. He destroyed those who did not believe. Here we see both the goodness of God side by side. The Lord showed his goodness in rescuing the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery, but his severity in punishing their stubborn disobedience and rebellion. We don't need to rebel against our Father. It's just like if you had earthly children and you are a mother or a father. When your child rebels, you spank the child, but you forgive. And God will forgive us over and over again if we repent. All we have to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Even when you're doing wrong, sometimes we know that we're doing wrong, and all we have to do is repent, ask God forgiveness. He wants to forgive you because he wants to keep that relationship. And if you have the Father, you have the Son, Jesus Christ. God is good, and God is love. He's love, and he loves his children. Time is drawing near for his return, and it's going to happen whether you believe it or don't believe it. It will happen. He will come back. He said he would, and he do exactly what he say he will do. He's coming back. I am going to turn this over to Pastor Bridge. Like I said, these are short but beautiful lessons. Keep yourself in the love of God. for the mercy of Jesus Christ. God is just good all the time. Amen.
Amen. And just a quick word, and then we are going to wrap up early today. For yesterday, Sister Carolyn sent out a beautiful word that was right on time. And it's so in with the lesson for today. And it says this: be kind to others, even if they are not kind to you.
My Lord.
Keep spreading love, even if you don't get it back. Be helpful, even if you have no one to help you. Do not change yourself according to others. Just remember one thing. It is not between you and others. It's always between you and God. And that was a greeting she sent from Morning Greetings this time. It wasn't an original. And today's word is a Bible scripture from Proverbs chapter 18. And I tell anybody, if you want some good information, go to Proverbs 18. It gives it all. It breaks it down. You know, as I say, it goes from husbands and wives finding good things. You know, it's a lot in Proverbs 18, and it's one of them words that you need to keep as a highlightable. The whole thing is highlightable. And it says this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18 and 10. And I thank God for his strong tower this morning. I thank God for his grace and for his mercy. I thank God for just being who he is. I know I sound like I'm just about to fall over, but I'm grateful that he woke me up this morning. I'm thankful that he gave me another day. And I know that I'm going to be okay because God said so. All I got to do is have faith and believe that it's only temporary. But I will say this to everybody. If you are sick, stay home. All you do is not, you're not impressing anybody going to work sick. You're not impressing anybody going to church sick. You're not impressing anybody going out sick because all you're doing is spreading germs. And I'm a firm believer you will not see me today except for a doctor's office. And it may not even be till tomorrow, but I say this, stay home if you're sick. God's got so many resources out there. You know, I had church yesterday all day. You know, I got in some word. I got in history. I watched and listened to documentaries just on history of the Holy Land and, you know, how so many things, you know, are not today, has been flipped and twisted that we think one thing and it's really something else. We have to be so very careful because God already told us that there would be counterfeit. There would be counterfeit that would claim to be from him and his chosen that are not. So we have to really watch as well as pray. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you. As you pray for me, I pray for you. As the song says, I love you. I need you to survive. Thank you all, family. Thank you so much, Mother Valerie, for stepping in this morning. I love you, and I will hopefully sound better and feel better on tomorrow. God bless you all. God, I thank you all. And again, have a blessed and wonderful day, family. For God is good, and his mercy endures forever. And as the word of God this morning has given, that God gave us, is keep yourself in love of God for the mercy of Jesus Christ. And Mother Valerie, I say to you, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. As I wrap up and say it's a wrap, It's a wrap, fam.
Yes,
have a blessed day. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And if they're not teaching the Word of God, pick your Bible up and find someplace else. And I say to you today, beware of false teachers as John and Jude and James and so many others and Paul tried to tell us in the Old Testament that in our day, we will deal with a lot of doctrine that is not of God, and we have to be careful. Watch as well as pray that we do not fall into the trap and the snares of the enemy. Be careful. As they say, read it for yourself. I'm a firm believer. If somebody gives you one word and you don't get the whole concept, go back and read the whole chapter because it's going to be important so you get it in context. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, thank you so much. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Be blessed. I love you all.